Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hi, Lizzie. Welcome to What You Read Next podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so really excited to be here.
So happy to have you here. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am an Alaskan born and raised, but my family are Hawaii transplants. So I kind of grew up with those extremes and with the love of travel. So I've been all over the world and just enjoying. I've been writing contemporary romance now for a little while and love it. It's my passion and my calling. So that's me in a nutshell, I guess.
And I have to ask you, because I'm fascinated about Alaska, like, is it like the books, like living in Alaska? Is it similar to what the books portray, or they get it off?
I mean, it in some ways, yes, but I do feel like it probably, I feel like there is sort of an Alaska land aspect of it to the books a little bit. There are ways in which it kind of depends on the book, quite frankly, but there are ways in which it's sort of like, you know, Regency romance is not strictly, you know, what Regency England would have been like. And the same way with books about Alaska, they may not be exactly what Alaska's like, but they'll get some things right and some things wrong.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm fascinated. Everything we're like reading about Alaska, and I'm like, it just like feels so foreign. It was like, oh, it's part of the States, but it's like a whole different world.
Yeah. It is. It's pretty different, but it's also awesome. So
that's awesome. So let's talk about writing. What inspired you to become a writer?
Oh, wow. I think I've always had it in me, I guess. I definitely was, you know, creating stories for my toys when I was a little girl. And like we moved when I was seven and moved from a neighborhood where there were just a million kids around and I was just running in a pack of children all the time to a neighborhood where there were no kids. And I was playing by myself a lot. And I think that, you know, alone time gave me the introspection, I guess, to start like making up like little, you know, making up characters for my Playmobil toys and things like that. And so I was also really into reading. And so I guess I was about 13 when I started writing my own stories. And ultimately, you know, all of those early attempts are just so unbelievably horrible. And it took a while before I really, you know, figured out what I was doing and actually finished anything. It was a lot of false starts and things like that at the beginning. But it was always a hobby, always something that I loved to do. And ultimately, when I decided in my 20s that I wanted to pursue it as a career, I kind of just buckled down and tried to figure out how to take something that I loved doing but had never done with very much discipline and apply some discipline to it so that I could finish books and learn my craft a little bit more and try and get better with each book. And that's what I'm still trying to do, still trying to get better with each book.
I love this. And so what was your journey to get that first book published?
Like I said, I'd been writing for a long time and I had some, you know, the classic manuscripts underneath the bed that were pretty bad. But I started, I actually was looking up, this was, probably 10, 15 years ago. I looked up some advice on how do you get published. And the advice that I saw was a three-pronged approach of query, go to conferences and meet people in the industry and enter contests. To kind of, because when you're starting out, you don't really have any credentials to speak of. There's nothing to distinguish you from anybody else. And so I started researching and querying agents and I entered my first contest, which was a romance contest for the Maggie Awards, which is something that Georgia Romance Writers was putting on. And I was lucky enough to final and went there and they had a conference associated with the Moonlight Magnolia conference was associated with it. So I went there and it was the first time I'd ever met other writers who were seriously pursuing it. And it was really just, I think meeting the other writers was the biggest pivot point for me because I sort of found my tribe, so to speak. And I got great advice. And one of the other writers I met there was someone who had just started writing for a small e-publisher. And I didn't even know e-publishers existed at that time. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know anything about e-books. It was kind of at the beginning of things like that. And she recommended that I submit a short story for an anthology. And that was actually the first thing I ever had that got picked up and published was a short paranormal rom-com story. And ultimately that led to me writing under the pen name Vivi Andrews for that e-publisher for 5 or 6 years. And then kind of figuring out that I wanted to make the jump into contemporary and sort of relaunching myself as under the Lizzie Shane name.
I love this. Yes. So what was the jump? Like, what made you decide to do contemporary after going from paranormal? Was it you wanted just to get a fresh start? You wanted just to get a different take on, you know, books?
I had actually started writing contemporary first. Okay. And I wrote the book that had finaled in that first contest was actually a contemporary. And and I was writing paranormal because that was sort of the niche that I had found myself falling into at this small press, and I really loved paranormal, mm-hmm. but I also really loved contemporary, and I felt like I had so many ideas in that space that it just felt like something I wanted to try, and I think it felt like a good fit for me, and mm-hmm. And I found myself really excited about those books. Those are projects that I really wanted to do. And I'm not saying that I'm going to be locked into that forever. I might pivot again. I'm really a big fan of reinvention. So who knows? but I just kind of wanted to explore that aspect of it.
I loved it. So let's talk about your writing process. Do you follow an outline or do you see where the story leads you? Are you a plotter or your pens are?
I'm a little bit in between. I definitely do sort of plan things out a little bit, but I need to have some flexibility as I'm going to kind of feel it out. I'm working on a new book now and I'm sort of in the early phases where I have this outline, but the outline keeps changing and moving around as I go. So I need to have a plan or a roadmap, but also be very willing and ready to deviate and see where I need to, you know, to chase the little, go down a rabbit hole every now and then and just kind of see. And then sometimes those things turn out to be like plot points that I didn't know were there. And I'm like, I clearly set up for this and didn't realize I was doing it on a conscious level. Like those are, I think you have to, I'm not going to say every writer's process is different. I'm not going to say what anyone else has to do, but I think I have to have a plan, but also be just really, really, really forgiving of any deviation from that plan.
Well, you know, no, characters may take you somewhere else. Like characters give you, you may want them to do X, Y, Z, and then you realize that character does not want to do X, Y, Z. So you kind of like to go with the flow with it.
Absolutely. There are definitely scenes that I've written or planned out in my head that are going to happen later in a book. And then we never get there. We go in a completely different direction. I'm like, oh, that was a great scene, but it just doesn't exist in this book anymore. It just has no place here. So that happens.
So let's talk about characters, because characters are important when it comes to romance, since we're having them fall in love. How did they come to you? Do you brainstorm or do you write, you know, something? Did it come to you like in the pure or something? What's the process like to develop the characters?
For me, developing characters often has to do with, I tend to be really focused on, I guess, their trajectory or what I feel like they need to learn, or what they're going to learn from each other, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so I tend to sort of back build from that, where I start out with, you know, this is this is their starting point and this is their trajectory and where they're going to end up. I'm kind of a nerd, so I kind of think of it as like physics vectors. This is your starting point, your trajectory, and what's motivating you, your velocity is that's getting you there. And so I'm always interested in, you know, where they start, but also what they need to accept about themselves. Often for me, it's really about self-acceptance. That's something I really try. I think it just pops out in all of my books. And so I'm always trying to figure out what it is that's holding them back from completely accepting themselves. And then how I can use the story and their interaction with the person who is their catalyst, which is usually their romantic interest, to kind of get there.
I love this. So let's talk about the Paul Jackson Christmas. So what was the source of inspiration? What's the source of inspiration for this book, but also for the series? Because there's another book in the series, right?
There is, yes. Once Upon a Puppy is going to be coming out in May. The source of inspiration for the book, actually, it came from my editor, Leah Holtenschmidt. She had the original idea of wanting to do a small town Christmas story with a shelter closing. And that was pretty much the kernel of the idea when we were talking about it. And I just kind of ran with it from there and got really excited about this idea. I've been a dog lover for a long time, and she and I had been going back and forth with different ideas. And that one was the one that just, like, I got so excited. And so I, you know, went out and did a whole bunch of research in shelters and was visiting shelters. And my aunt actually ended up adopting one of the dogs that we visited. And it was just, it was so sweet. I think, you know, the original kernel of the idea was definitely Leah's, but I just kind of ran with it and really, it felt like a really good fit. And I had wanted to do a small town series set in Vermont because I, again, like we were saying, Alaska seems like it's kind of a foreign land to most people, but like for me, snow and winter is just such a part of my life and my memories, especially around Christmas time. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to have the kind of the snowy mountain views. They're not quite the same mountain views that we have there, but they still have, you know, the hills and the snowfall, and it just felt like a really great fit. So I started the Pine Hollow series, which is going to be a series, each of which involve sort of a dog lover element. The second book, Once Upon a Puppy, also has some canine stars. So, so it's going to continue to be that Pine Hollow, Vermont, small town, you know, warm and fuzzy feelings, but also with the pet lover theme running through it.
I love this. And so let's talk about the dogs, because they do have their own personality. So what was the process like of developing each dog? And like, do you research their breed? Like, do you figure out like what was the process?
I definitely researched, yes. I think a lot of the dogs came out of either dogs that were in my life or my friends' lives, or dogs that we met when we were when I was visiting shelters and talking to the people who worked there and talked to them about what kind of dogs were going through. And I was really focused on like which kind of dogs might be the hardest to adopt, which ones might be at a shelter the longest or might be passed from shelter to shelter. And with this kind of idea of, you know, all dogs are just waiting for their forever home, and this idea of finding the forever homes for these dogs who might've been at a shelter a long time was something that really resonated with me. And so one of the places I went to, it was, you know, there was this really sweet little dog, but she was a submissive peer. And so she would pee whenever somebody would come close to her. And that's not the first impression that most people want with, you know, the dog they adopt kind of thing. And so I was trying to think of, you know, and the dogs that maybe need the most love, you know what I mean? And, and then also obviously some of them were from my own life too. I think, Captain America is based on a dog that I raised from a puppy, and the Houdini dog, the dog that is escaping everywhere, is based on, my aunt's dog, Gracie, who can actually open doors. The dog can open doors. Like,
oh my God. So let's see, small town Vermont, yes. Some creative small town, you know, there's something feeling that's cozy, and you mentioned there's no, it's just like, it's like more fuzzy. Like, what's the process like you got from experience from being in Alaska, but like setting up in Vermont, like the whole small town world, to create romance? Like, what's the process like for you?
It was actually, it was interesting because I found myself kind of building an amalgam of a lot of the small towns that I had visited. I travel a lot. And so and you know, visiting friends around the country and whatnot, and just kind of patching together this town of, and also a lot of the small town books that I read, and having the elements that I knew I wanted to include. You know, I just remembered a friend of mine, they had a town square that was actually shaped like a triangle, and it was a whole joke that their town square was shaped like a triangle. But they had this gorgeous gazebo, and they had, you know, wonderful tree lighting ceremonies, and I was just thinking about like those moments and how the community comes together. And it was really important to me, especially with a Christmas book, that community and that feeling of coming together. Honestly, even though right now we can't really be together, mm-hmm. it was really important to me when I was writing the book to focus on how we can be there for each other. And that was something that I factored into the small town, and that both the hero and the heroine of the 12 Dogs of Christmas, Ben and Allie, are both really engaged with the community and kind of how they come together is definitely interwoven with the small town, which I love. So
yes, it was fun. So what is your favorite trope to write?
Oh, wow. I am a complete sucker for the fake relationship. that's actually Once Upon a Puppy, the book that's coming out in the spring. That is a fake relationship book. And oh my gosh, it's my favorite. Anytime somebody like they don't think they're going to fall for each other, but they're pretending to be together. Oh, it's my catnip. I cannot stop.
Yes, I agree. I'm like fake relationship, fake engagement, fake.
Oh yeah.
Girl, like, just any type of forced proximity that'll put them together, and you just like,
oh yeah,
don't think they're supposed to fall in love, or they can't fall in love. They feel like that's not possible for them, and they just like really
yes.
fall in love. Yes, I'm here for it.
Yes, I love it. Especially those moments when they're like starting to have the feelings, but they're pretending they're not having the feelings. Ugh, it's so perfect.
It's so perfect. So speaking of your Once Upon a Puppy, it's a fake relationship. Is it a, what setting? Is it going to be in spring, or is it going to be a fall or Christmas, like cozy?
It spans quite a bit of time, actually. It starts in February. So it starts after the 12 Dogs of Christmas ends and runs through the spring. And so it goes on for a little while, but it starts in February. Yeah.
Oh, perfect. So just continue going. You're like, you get to see the seasons, you know. That's awesome. So let's see. Now let's get to a round of recommendations. This is an opportunity for you to share with the audience what the show is next. What is your favorite genre?
My favorite genre. Oh, wow. I really love, okay, so I can't pick just one. I really love, I love paranormal, I love historical, and I love contemporary. And mm-hmm. I think I love them all for different reasons, but those historical romance, contemporary romance, and paranormal romance, those are the three that I'm just drawn to over and over and over again.
I love this. What has been you read this past year that you love?
Oh gosh. Oh my gosh. So many things. I always feel like I'm behind. So I'm not sure if these are like new books or not, because my TBR tends to be like 2 years behind everybody else. And I'm discovering authors, and everyone else is like, oh no, I've known about that author for years. They're fantastic. I'm like, yes, but they're new to me.
They're new. It is all there.
Yes. And I want everyone to be geeking out over, like, I just discovered Talia Hibbert, and I am in love with the Brown sisters books, and mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I just read Snapped by Alexa Martin, and mm-hmm. her books just I don't know if I could love them more. The Lady Mustangs in the book, the female friendships are so gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I'm in love with yes, I'm kind of in love with everything Alexa Martin does. I have also been, I've been rereading, I'm sorry, I'm getting really excited about the books right now. I've also been, when they announced the Bridgertons were going to be coming out on Netflix, yes. I started rereading all of Julia Quinn, because I hadn't read the Bridgertons in years. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, well, clearly I need to brush up. So I'm like halfway through rereading the Bridgertons right now too. So, and of course, I'm completely addicted to Nalini Sayings, both her Side Changeling series and her Angel series. I cannot get enough of them. So I'm constantly grabbing whatever is next there. So those are probably some of my favorites.
So I just started reading Saikinho series because it's been, oh my gosh, been like, I don't know how many times. It's been mentioned quite a few times. So this past weekend in one sitting, I read Slave to Sensation. And then I just went to the next one, I think Visions of Heat or something like that.
Yes, yes. So
I'm like caressed by the ice. Like, I'm in Brennan's story now. And I'm like living for it. Like, it's like, oh, yeah.
Every time someone starts that series, I'm like, oh, I'm so excited for you.
Yes. I'm like, I was like telling my community, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like obsessed with changing. I was like, I can't stop.
She's so brilliant.
I have to read other books, and I'm like, but I don't have to. So awesome. Well, tell us where we can find you online.
I am on Twitter and Instagram at Lizzie Shane AK, as in Alaska, and on Facebook, I am Lizzie Shane Author. And then you can find me, my website is www.lizzieshane.com, LizzieShane. And yeah, that's me.
Thank you, Lizzie, for being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Once you connect with fellow romance readers and make new friends, get weekly book recommendations, attend monthly meetups, then join our Patreon community. You can join at whatyourneextblog.com/Patreon. Romance lovers, check out Queen Bee Reads Etsy shop for cute and comfortable bookish apparel. The shop also features social justice apparel and fun items from some of your favorite TV shows like The Schitt's Creek and The Office. Use code WHATTOREAD10 to save. Visit whatyourneextblog.com/queenbeereads. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Discover new podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourneextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.